Hey guys, welcome to the Chris Stefanik Show. Fear robs you of life to the full. It destroys relationships. It destroys your ability to pursue your dreams. It robs you of your joy. We're going to help you overcome fear today. I interview a dear friend of mine, Dom Rosso, a Navy SEAL Team 6 veteran who's seen incredible amounts of combat and knows a thing or two about fear. You see, guys, so often we encounter fear and have no idea what to do with it or how to manage it. Dom's going to help you not just take away the feelings of fear, but even with those feelings there, know how to deal with them, how to manage them, how to push through them so that fear doesn't dominate your life. We're going to tackle this from the biological, neurological level, and also from the spiritual level. This video is part of a coaching program called Fearless, which is about how to overcome fear in your life. To access that and all of our coaching programs that help you live life to the full, go to reallifecatholic.com and sign up today. There's also a link in the show notes. And not only do we equip you to live life to the full, you can know that by signing up, you help carry this work forward. Speaking of carrying this work forward, be sure to like and subscribe and share this with everybody you know. So excited to share this with you today. And here's me and Dom Rosso. God bless you. So in the natural, fear is a normal, healthy emotion. When you perceive a threat, your amygdala kicks off all sorts of reactions that cause this emotion that leads you to fight or flight, and it's good. All these emotions that we have are a gift from God, and fear is a particularly good one because it stops you from doing stuff like running across the freeway with scissors when you're a little kid. All right, fear is why you're all sitting here right now. But like any emotion, if it's not moderated by virtue, it becomes destructive. And the virtue that moderates the emotion of fear is fortitude, the virtue of courage. And a virtue is just like a muscle in a couple ways. One, you can work it out. And as you do things to work out that virtue with the help of God's grace, it becomes stronger in you. It's also like a muscle in this, that once you've worked it out and it's gotten stronger, you can lift anything with it. Whether it's a weight or a rock or whatever it is that you've gotten strong enough to lift, you can lift all sorts of objects that are that weight. So check this out, this is kind of cool. Whatever fear you're struggling with, if you build up courage and practice courage in response to any fear, it helps you to conquer every fear that you face in life. That virtue is at your disposal to conquer any fear. So how do you build that muscle? I can think of no better guy to talk to than my dear friend Dom Rosso.
What's up, brother?
Dom is a Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6, which is the SEAL of the SEALs. He's been on over 350 combat missions as a sniper. So it's actually kind of a miracle that he's here. It's even more of a miracle that he's not limping. All right, because he's been in very serious situations. He's seen a lot of scary things. He's lost dear friends. He's faced fear head on in a way that most human beings never dream of. So before I say anything else, brother, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service to the country. You know, it's because people do really scary things that we can live a normal life.
That's true.
So thanks for that, brother.
It's been an honor.
We're going to dive into five things specifically that he's going to teach us for overcoming fear. Before I do that, how much of training to become a SEAL has to do with just simply overcoming fear?
I think it sets an anchor. You know, fear is an emotion that everybody has to deal with. It's a very, very real aspect of life. And I think a lot of it has to do with how you were programmed from the day that you were born, the parenting, what faith looked like in your life. But it is a huge foundation just from making the decision to go, just from making the decision to step into that unknown. And that's a lot of where fear comes from, is that unknown. So I think from an upbringing standpoint, a lot of warriors are forged along the way. You know, people training their kids, teaching their kids the right way. I'm not saying that that can't happen, but overcoming fear is a major part of any special unit, any difficult job in this world, any adversity. You've got to be able to dig into it and overcome that.
Tom, when you came in earlier to the studio, and I told a couple guys, hey, he's a SEAL Team 6, a couple of the guys right away are like, whoa. You know, I think people are in awe of you when they find out the things you've done. And I think what makes us in awe of warriors like you is not that you've been able to conquer other people, that you have these skills. Because I through training, a lot of people can learn the skill of how to wield a weapon. What really makes me in awe of you is that you conquer yourself. Is that you can walk into situations where death, it's a high possibility in some situations since you've been in. Do you feel fear when you're walking into those things?
100%. You know, fear has always been something that you have to have a relationship with. And, you know, I'm amazed by guys that I worked with too. You know, you learn from who you're around. And that was one of the blessings after looking back on my career. You know, what I did and the things that I went through is like, I am blessed to be standing here. And also, it's been a very surreal experience. But mirroring the behavior or being around people that already knew how to do that really translates, you know, and who you surround yourself with. If you're surrounding yourself with people that are constantly living in fear, that's going to rub off on you. Mm. And I think that's a big part of that upbringing in the teams. So that was a highlighted point for me.
Courage is contagious.
You know? Yeah, courage is contagious. But you have to train it. Too. You have to learn it. I mean, these are all the things that we're talking about here. These steps and these points and these things that anybody can take away are very real and they work. And you see that over time, and you see that, you know, especially when you're faced with your life on the line every single day, every single night. It's like you have to confront that. You know, one thing that stood out to me is that if you have something difficult to go through, you could say that I'm going on an operation and that's really scary. It's the scariest environment imaginable, right? Whatever that may be in your head. Well, there's something like that in your life that's going on right now that might be happening. That's that intense. So just because I was in that scary environment doesn't make your situation any different. We're all human. Mm. And so when you're going into that, what I realized over a long period of time is that any fear that I let control me and me responding based off of that fear, it only held me back from being the very best that I could possibly be when I was needed. When I was needed to go in that door, watch my buddy's back, or a situation or a hard decision, if I let that fear control me, I was not the best version of myself. Mm. And so that's key to understand. So if you have that fear that's blocking, all these things are relevant to be able to crush that fear so you can show up to be the best version of yourself. Nothing would have helped me go to that target and do the very best that I could have. If I let that get into my head, it would have slowed me down, made me hesitate. I would have had a half-hearted decision. You don't fully commit in a life when you let fear control who you are.
Ironically, you're more likely to die if that stuff's happening.
You're gonna make not the best decision.
Right.
Cause you to hesitate. Yeah. You know? And that's not anything we need in life, in period, in general.
So. Let's rip through these five things. Let's Number one, that you and we've had a lot of conversations about this. I'm blessed to call Dom a friend and talk to him regularly. So I pick his brain about these things because he fascinates me. So one, you repeat a mantra. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
If fear is something that's coming up, and it will, it's like, what are you telling yourself right in that very moment that it happens? How are you translating that? Obviously, for me, connecting scripture now today with that fear is really, really important because I know what God's calling us to do. And through the word of God, through scripture, it's like, oh, of course that makes sense. But you have to be able to know for sure and trigger yourself in that moment, even if it's a small glimpse into something that's going to get you to overcome that fear. Some people deal with some really intense fears. So if you don't have something right away that can come up that's powerful enough to replace, then you're just going to keep going down that road. And I know for me, it's changed over time, even in the circumstance that you're in. It could be context. But don't walk in unprepared. If you're living in fear or there's something really holding you back, what are you going armed with in that? If I have to go in a room that's really scary or make a tough decision, I'm going to walk in there, and before I do, I'm going to be like, what am I doing this for? Well, you know what? I want to provide for my family and give them a good quality life of security and nourishment and health. And so I know that this decision I'm going to make is going to be a part of that. So anytime something challenges me to be fearful, I'm like, no, well, that's way more important than this. So that mantra has to be right on the forefront of my mind. And if you don't practice it, it won't come to fruition because it's just like going to the gym. So if you don't have it written down and you don't say it to yourself every single morning, guess what? You're going to have a hard time recalling it. Mm. And just like scripture, if you don't have a mantra made up for yourself, find scripture. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Have no fear or anxiety about anything, except in everything through prayer and supplication. So right there in that scripture, God is telling us, take your fear and anxiety and bring it right to prayer. Mm. That's a trigger.
Find those scripture verses and keep recalling to mind again and again and again until you preach to yourself.
Rep it out.
I love that.
Make it happen.
Two, that you train your triggers. And this is a really cool concept because a lot of people feel like they're helpless to what triggers them. Triggers are things that happen on the outside, cause an automated response on the inside. You say, no, you can actually retrain what you do in response to to external stimuli.
Yeah, you're anything but a victim. You know, you're a victor in this life. God is calling you to amazing things. Everybody has that potential, and I know it with all my heart. And so recognizing that in yourself is that some people deal with, I'm going to start with the extreme. Some people deal with these extreme fears, and their response is, I don't think I can ever get over that. But you have got to start small enough to give yourself a great rep. So when that stimulus comes in, that neurolinguistic programming is, if I have some, like, what happens when you stub your toe, right? Most of you feel sorry for yourself, grab your toe, hobble around a little bit, right? But the trigger for me, for somebody that trains often, is that if I feel any pain or stimulus, I need to make sure that that increases my confidence and awareness to go to what could come next, right? That's a very real thing. So just like fear, you need to have that small rep to say, no, this, even if the thought goes in your head in the moment of fear, you got a good rep in. Build on that. See it and be aware of it. Write it down and do it over and over and over again. And I know you can build on it. Think about it. It's just like going to the gym.
And you actually choose to put yourself in situations that scare you so that you can learn to have those things trigger you to different actions.
Yes. And that's, that to me is another level, but not anybody can get there fast, because you need to understand it's the unknown that causes fear. And so if we don't step into the unknown, well, we're never going to know. The fear is not going to change. What I do all the time is I ask people, I was like, what do you fear? Everybody in this room has something. You know, when you leave here, write them down. My first step for you is going to be to expose yourself more to the areas that you're afraid of. Because that's going to build you in ways that you never understood, that you never saw before. And you're going to find out things about yourself that you're like, man, some things that you're fearing aren't even real. They're not even real fears. They're just stopping you from making a decision and moving into a better part of you.
And, this training of triggers, you're almost building up a different muscle memory than you naturally have.
Yep.
To the extreme that in your line of work, if I hear a gunshot, I run and hide. And you hear a gunshot, you're like instantly thinking, and I'm going at the
Where
same.
Do I have to go?
Yeah,
where do I have to flank? That's my trigger. I mean, realistically.
Because you've done it 1,000 times.
It's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. You know, for me, I have to realize that God's called me to be a warrior. There's many of them out there. And evil exists, and innocent people also exist. And my job is to protect people. So if that situation were to come up, I know I have the skills to be able to go do something about it. The last thing that I want to do is hesitate in that moment when somebody else's lives are on the line. I have to step up to
And you train your triggers at more than fears. Tell me how you do that on your way home from work. I love this.
Well, you find these things that start to change your chemistry, right? We've talked about the programming ever since you were born. Recognize that. Confront it right now. Even things as simple as when I drive home at the end of the day, a trigger, this is a great example. I have a street and a sign and the exact point, phones go away, sunglasses come off, and I totally change my demeanor. And this happens over repetition. The first time I did it, it was just a thought. I was like, wait a minute, that would probably be a good idea. And now 3 years later, I'm like, oh, I know I need to empty myself completely to go home and walk in my home and be completely loving and open to what my kids are. This is take two of the day. I can't bring any of that was affecting me into the house. So breathe, focus, know they need me, leave everything past that line and go. That's a trigger. That sign is a trigger. And so you can do that with anything else that's holding you back from being the best version of yourself.
And Natalie's here watching, my wife, and she's thinking, Chris, if there could be a street sign in our neighborhood. And when you come home, you won't come home as a jerk.
Tomorrow, that's good.
Tomorrow
good. This is your sign. That's right, Chris, that's right. This is your sign.
Yeah. Who spray painted art? What? I love this one, that you let love overcome your fear. That there's got to be an intentionality around this. And this is from 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. How do you do that? How'd you do that in battle?
Well, I think the quote from G.K. Chesterton sums that up really well, right?
Yeah.
And
tell us, like, actually, I wrote this down.
I've had to confront this many times, but you don't go do something because you hate what's in front of you. You do it because you love what's behind you. You're literally being that shield. And I think that that's a really important difference from anybody that would think about doing violence to somebody else or in a sense of protection, is that I'm doing it because I truly care about the people that deserve protection and they deserve to live a free life with freedom. And so for me, it's understanding that I have to build that courage. And what is the totally opposite of fear? It's courage. And what strengthens courage? It's our love. And where do we find love? In Scripture, rooted in Christ. I had a good understanding of what I thought love was. I really did. I thought I had it nailed down. But it wasn't until I really dove into the Word even further to recognize how far I was off. And strengthening that and filling that cup up of courage that gave me the ultimate, basically, math problem to equal what courage is today. I wish I had some of what I knew now.
Oh yeah.
When I stepped in some of those doors.
Don, were you thinking of people you loved in battle?
Absolutely, and that's what. Right when I got in, you know, you ask yourself, when you're going through buds and, you know, everybody else is quitting around you and it sucks and it's cold and all the things that you hear about, is like, what's driving you to the next step? And the difference maker, and we talked about this, is what's somebody's why? What's your why? Is your why strong enough to get you through? And my why's foundation was very set on, I had a nephew that was born and I saw him. I was, you know, blessed enough to have a nephew at an early age, but it was a sobering moment to be like, whoa, I'm like 12 years old, but yet I have this little kid that I'm supposed to be looking out for, and I had the right people tell me you gotta be there for him. So my niece, my nephew, they're all in my heart. Like, these guys don't deserve what I'm seeing out here. These guys don't deserve this evil that's knocking on the door. I kept them in my heart the whole time, and when it got tough, I absolutely brought them up, and they were right front and center to be like, I gotta go through this door, not for me, for them. So to hope that they live a better life than, you know, what we're experiencing.
And right he now. Said something key there. He brought them up. You know, we're often passive to our thinking and to our emotions, or we think without thinking about what we're thinking at all, half our lives, you follow that? All right? But to actually be intentional about, I'm kicking a door down, or whatever you're facing, and to say, no, love casts out fear, so what's that mean? I have to call up the thought of someone I love right now.
And of course, when I had kids, that got even easier, right? Because they're right there,
totally.
And I love my children with all my heart. So now operating in that sense was like, okay, Lord, like, I know that I don't want this to come back in our home or anybody's lives. And it just made me realize that even more so.
Beautiful. So repeat a mantra, train your triggers, work on that. Mm-hmm. Let love overcome your fear. And then I like this one, to conquer your fear with a better fear. And Jesus actually advised us to do this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So Jesus was saying, don't fear the wrong thing. Fear the right thing in the right way. And that's not a servile fear where we're cowering before God or other people. A servile fear makes us cower. And the right fear makes us act. It makes us act the right way. So tell us about that.
That's the confidence of understanding, you know, God's eternal love, you know, eternal consequences. In eternity, it's a much better sense of what we're thinking about in the worldly sense. And, you know, don't worry about those who can kill the body. This life is so short. Mm. This life goes by like that. And there's all kinds of things that are going to challenge us and threaten the body. But it's knowing that we're living to the best of our ability for those circumstances. I wish I had a lot of what I know today to carry with me over there. But in the sense of thinking that we're going to die, like right now, we're going to lose our life, you know, like we don't want that taken away. Think about how much that stops you from living. You know, I mean, we saw it with COVID. We saw everybody lock themselves down. Nobody went out. Nobody did anything. Nobody was living their lives. We were robbed from that time of our life. We were being held prisoner. And so it's understanding that our life is connected to eternity and not in this world.
Yes.
So everything that I did overseas would have been stronger thinking that way.
And as important as things like precautions are, at some point, you have to realize that there's fear has to come with, what am I giving up? These are things that people said was socially irresponsible to even ask those questions. You have to ask those questions. You have to be driven by the fear of what you're giving up sometimes, at some point, to then jump into what you fear. With friendships, Dom's a great friend. If I have a conflict with Dom, I hate conflict. I fear conflict. But
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, he likes it. He thrives. It's his thing. He's ready to kill me right now. He looks so calm.
No, because I love you.
Thanks, buddy. See? But there's a, it's exactly right. Because I love Dom, it'll be like, you know what? I fear losing a friendship. I'll think about, I'll never talk to him again if I don't bring up what's bothering me right now. Mm-hmm. So I let one fear overcome another fear. This last one's really, really key, to engage your body in the battle for fear. And a lot of people talk about theology of the body, and it has to do with marital intimacy when they talk about theology of the body. But the reality is it's way more comprehensive than that. We're a body-soul composite. And when we talk about building virtue, if your amygdala is in overdrive, and you don't know just in basic biological, neurological ways to manage that, it's going to be hard for you to think like a rational creature to where you could think about building virtue. So there's a base level that it's not beyond us as pure spirit beings. We're not, to think about that. So how do you engage your body What are some stuff you do with breathing and, yeah, how
about? Well, first, it's understanding that we're physical beings, right? God gave us a physical body. So it's in the sense of putting all these things together. You know, when I think of the warriors that I trained with, and then understanding the stories of the saints, which was like missed on me my whole childhood, and then I finally started to open up the books, like, wow, these guys were bold.
Yeah.
And we are called to be bold. We are called to be brave and to engage with our bodies, not to worry about that fear of death, but to live in such a way that allows us to engage. So when that fear starts to overcome you, all these things matter. Repeating your mantra, your triggers, what do you love the most? What's your why? But eventually you got to do physical things too that are going to change the chemistry. And so breathing is one of those things that's so underrated. But I mean, I could give a lesson right now, but I would always encourage people to go deeper into what you're actually doing with your body to breathe, to lower your heart rate, to
give
center
yourself. Give us the 30-second lesson here. How are you supposed to breathe when you feel your boom, boom, boom,
your adrenaline?
Yeah.
First of all, adrenaline, that's another thing, right? Learning how to weaponize that and use that to your advantage. It's the same thing with fear. You're weaponizing the fear. And part of that is with these things. I've been blessed to be around guys, Louis Safran, one of my best friends, right? He got me into freediving. Freediving changed my life.
How deep has he dived?
Well, Louis, who knows how far he dived. My buddy Alex, that's breaking world championships right now, is like past 300 feet at this point. 300 feet on one breath hold, which is pretty impressive. But it all happens with controlling this and breathing and getting your heart rate down. So it's a very real thing that it blows my mind that none of us do, that we should do more of. So when you feel that fear, when you feel the adrenaline, when you feel your heart rate increase, that's your opportunity to trigger yourself to get a great rep in. And a great way to think of this is that you want to have a pretty quick inhale and then a slow exhale.
Go ahead and do that right now.
Breathe in and then slowly let it out. Just relax your body, but slow exhale. Just in that one breath alone, you'll feel your heart rate tick down like 5 beats. But it's on the exhale that your heart rate drops. When you inhale, your heart rate actually increases. And if you do that for a period of time, 3 or 4 breaths, you're back in the fight. You're back to a full thinking in your senses. You're gonna start waking up senses that you're not using because you're not thinking about the consciousness of your breathing. So that's something that if you're connecting fear, this is about fear. If you want to overcome that fear, breathing is a huge part of that. Do more of it. I mean, that's that simple.
So we're talking about mantras and breathing, and you're like, is this a Hindu class?
And, no.
And I call to your mind that our brothers and sisters at Eastern Rite, Byzantine and Orthodox, there's a beautiful thing called the Jesus Prayer. And they have these beads wrapped around their arms, like 100 or 1,000 beads, where they just breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they're thinking of their heart rate while they're doing it. And it's an ancient and beautiful prayer just to make you aware of the presence of God, but also to physically calm you down. All this stuff is profoundly Catholic. Praise God, brother. Thanks for being a warrior and bringing that spirit into your faith.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing to behold, and you shared a lot of wisdom with us today, brother. I'm just grateful. And I love seeing how all this stuff, what you did to overcome fear, how you carry it over into your life now. Because I know that Dom is a fearless man when it comes to sharing his faith. You have a business, crusheverything.com. Check it out. It's great. But to make it known in today's secular world that's not really tolerant of conservative Christianity, like, yeah, I love Jesus. He'll occasionally show pictures of himself with a rosary on his Instagram and stuff. But also to see, like, I know you've started a couple businesses, mm-hmm. but you've also just said, yeah, I'm not afraid of failure. That one's not working. Let's have it fail as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Let's be done with it. But there's a fearlessness that you take into all these parts of your life that you didn't just check out the door when you entered civilian world. So thanks for your witness in that regard, bro.
Yeah, man. Fear and failure are the two things that are going to forge your character. Mm. That adversity is going to pull you through to show you things that you never knew about yourself. And it's purposeful. It's God's timing. You know. And again, just because I was a SEAL, just because I did all these things and I saw glimpses into very intense ways of life, I can tell you for sure that everything that I learned there is no different than everything that you're going through right now. It's the same exact thing. And that's what I know for sure, that these things applied can help anybody
praise
in any
God.
Way. So.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.